1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Revelation 14:7. In 1844, our great high priest entered the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary to begin the work of the investigative judgment. As the books of records are opened in judgment, the lives of all who have believed in Jesus come in view before God. Beginning with those who first lived upon the earth, our advocate presents the cases of each successive generation and closes with the living. Every name is mentioned, every case closely investigated. Names are accepted, names are rejected. When any have sins remaining upon the books of record, unrepented and unforgiven, their names will be blotted out of the book of life. We are now living in the great moment of atonement. In the typical service, while the high priest was making the atonement of Israel, all were required to afflict their souls by repentance of sin and humiliation before God, lest they be cut off from among the people. In like manner, all who would have their names retained in the book of life should now, in the few remaining days of their probation, afflict their souls before God by sorrow for sin and true repentance. There must be deep, faithful searching of heart. There is earnest warfare before all who would subdue the evil tendency that strive for the mastery. The work of preparation is an individual work. We are not saved in groups. The purity and devotion of one who will not offset the want of these qualities in another. Everyone must be tested, found without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. All who have truly repented of sin and by faith claimed the blood of Jesus as the atoning sacrifice have had pardon entered against their name in the books of heaven, as they have become partakers of the righteousness of Christ, and their characters are found to be in harmony with the law of God. Their sins will be blotted out, and they themselves will be accounted worthy of eternal life. The Lord declares, I am he that blotted out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins.
Our most gracious and Heavenly Father, once again, be most grateful and thankful that all is well with us. As we continue to see the signs being fulfilled, Father, we pray it is the same with our listeners today. And Father, if it is not, we pray that your divine intervention will enter into their lives and into the situation of their lives, that all be well with them and their family according to your will. And Father, when the program is over today, we pray that what we will share with your people, that they will go and study the truth, see whether things are true or not. And when you should come, let none of us be found wanting, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. We want to welcome our regulars in the audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who may be listening to us for the first time. Our telephone contact for questions and comments is 322-6273. And those phone lines are open right now. So give us a call if you have any questions or comments at 322-6273. This afternoon, we're going to begin our study on the 2300-day prophecy as mentioned in the book of Daniel and continued on to the book of Revelation. So if you have your Bibles, we ask you to get your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 9, and we will begin our study in a few minutes. If you have any questions or comments and you want to write us, you could write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. And for any of you who want to listen to our old programs or see some of our health topics or Bible studies or want to contact any of the members here on Turning Point, you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. And if you happen to be away from the Bahamas and you still want to listen to the program, you can via the World Wide Web, and that is at www.znsbahamas.com. Now, before we get into our discussion this afternoon on the 2300-day prophecy, as mentioned in the book of Daniel, we will have Brother Paul give us a little update.
Yes, thank you very much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Once again, we are happy to be coming into your homes, your cars, or wherever you are today, and we pray that today will be one of a rich blessing and understanding to you on the 2300-day prophecy. Once again, we'd like to send a very special thank you out to Lignum Technology, better known as Computer City. It's located in the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza. The telephone number there, if you care to call them, is 393-2164. And we'd like special thanks because on Friday past, me and my brother-in-law was on a hunt to find a computer to help us with the Turning Point Ministries projects. The computer that we are using has given us a lot of problems, so we went there, and he gave us a very good price, an unbelievable price. And once again, we'd like to say thank you to Lignum Technology, Computer City, and that's located in the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza. Once again, the telephone number is 393-2164. We pray that the Lord will continue to use this computer store to help the humans who are in special need of help in the computer world. So as we continue to go through this program today, we pray that all of the sailing down will be one that will help to draw each of us closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, Brother Renwick brought to my attention that if someone needs some information on cancer, well, there's some stuff on our website dealing with that, or you can give us a call at 322-6273, and we can give you some handouts that can help you with your cancer situation. Whoever else that might be suffering with cancer, we can either bring it, you can come and pick it up, or we can mail it to you, and be sure with the Lord's help and with His design, if it is His will that you be totally healed, He will do exactly that. Because He has promised that He don't want His children to suffer. He wants them to be in perfect and good health.
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as we begin our study this afternoon on the 2300-day prophecy, in the studio as usual, Brother Paul Miller, and of course, Brother Renwick Bowe. My first question to our panel this afternoon is, where should we begin our study if we want to begin a study of the 2300-day prophecy?
Well, Brother Georgian, if we look at Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, it's a very pointed message, and it's one that's not being spread abroad about in the Christian community. A matter of fact, a lot of people believe that the book of Revelation is a closed book. But if you just read Revelation chapter 1, the word revelation simply means to reveal. And it also says that blessed and holy is he that readeth the prophecy and understand those things which are written therein. So today we'll read Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7, and it says, "And I saw another angel." The angel there means messenger, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. To who all should go to, says the Lord? To every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And what is that message? Saying with a loud voice, "Fear God," or rather, "give honor and glory to God, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters." And that's the only place we should be worshiping, ladies and gentlemen, but there are a whole lot of people today receiving worship of mortal men, and hardly ever they are being rebuked by these mortal men. But today the Bible is quite clear, according to Revelation 14:7, that the time has come for us to reverence God and give him all glory. And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "For whatever you eat, whichever you and I should drink, we should do all to the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ."
As you mentioned earlier, Brother Paul, we must go to the scripture whenever we wanted to have any spiritual question answered, or any question answered, as a matter of fact. But where can we find this prophecy of the 2300-day prophecy?
If you want to find it in a nutshell, if you read in Daniel chapter 8, Daniel had a vision. He was very concerned about what he saw. And the moment he came out of that vision, he began to pray in Daniel chapter 9. And at the end of his prayer, the Lord sent the angel Gabriel to deliver the message what Daniel saw in the night vision. And Daniel chapter 9, verse 21 to 27, gives in a nutshell about the 2300-day prophecy. And it says, "Yea, while I was speaking in my prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision, had begun being caused to fly swiftly, touching me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee the skill and understanding. Then beginning at thy supplication, and the command came forth, I have come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved therefore, and understand the matter, and consider the vision. 70 days are determined unto thy people, and unto thy holy city, to finish transgression, and to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation of iniquity, and to bring an everlasting righteousness, to seal the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 70 weeks, 62 weeks, and the street shall be again rebuilt, and the walls even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, but for the people of the Prince shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be a flood, and unto the end of the wars and desolation are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many weeks, for 1 week. And in the midst of that week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the evening and the oblation to cease. And from the overspreading of the abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determination shall be poured upon the desolate. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to read about it in a nutshell, like I said, I was quoting to you Daniel chapter 9, verse 21 to 27.
Brother Henry, what did Daniel do to understand this vision that he received from God?
What Daniel did is something that every believer in the Lord should do, Brother Julian. And we'll read from Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. And it says, "And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and with supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." How does it start? I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications. Verse 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant of mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. Daniel fell on his face, and he prayed before the Lord, asking the Lord to bring understanding to him. He prayed with supplications, with fasting, asking the Lord to bring understanding. And verse 17, we go down, he says, and now therefore, Lord, our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. So Daniel is praying unto the Lord for the answer. He's not looking to men. He's not sitting down and trying to strategize and figure things out on his own wisdom, but he's turning to the Lord. And what does the Lord say? The Lord gives a word to all that turn their face toward him and seek him, seek his wisdom for answers. And it says in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, and if we read, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets, those that seek his face, those that come to him in fasting and in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Brother Paul, you mentioned about 70 weeks. Could you give us a little explanation of the 70 weeks?
Yes, Brother Julian. The 70 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, is not actually 70 literal weeks, but it's 70 prophetic weeks. So if you look at it through the prophecy where the Bible says each day for a year, it would actually mean 490 years. This 70 weeks begun from 457 B.C., to AD 34. That's how long this prophecy lasted. And the Bible is quite clear that the prophecy began and it surely did. As a matter of fact, most Bible scholars believe that this prophecy really did take place. But somewhere along the line, they go from 457 BC to AD 27, leaving out the remainder of the years, which are 7 years, and saying that this 7 years will not kick in until the Great Tribulation. And this is what we were speaking to you a few weeks ago, dealing with the secret rapture and the Great Tribulation. So what most Bible scholars teach is that the 70 weeks came to a stop. And right now we're waiting for the other part of the 70 weeks to come to an end, which will kick in during the Great Tribulation. But we are here to show you that as we begin to study you week after week on this topic of the 23-day prophecy, it is recorded in history and also Bible records that the whole 70 weeks, which is 490 years, came to an end. And like I said, it began from 457 to AD 34.
Brother Renrick, Brother Paul quoted a date, 457 BC. Does the Bible give us any indication of when this prophecy started?
Yes, the Bible does give us an indication, Brother Julian. And before we go to that, we'd just like to quickly turn to Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 6. And the audience may ask, where did we get a day for a year from? And Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 6 makes this plain. And it says here, and when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. And there are other scriptures in the Bible that confirm this, but I think we'll make mention of those on another show. And to go on, where does the question you asked, Brother Julian, and we do get confirmation from scripture from that, and it's in Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, and it says, and the elders of the Jews built it, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they built it and finished it, according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Judah. And this is talking about when the 70 weeks began. It began when King Artaxerxes made the decree that the Jewish temple could actually be rebuilt. And this took place in the year 457 BC.
Brother Paul, you also mentioned in your discourse the 70 weeks and the Messiah should be cut off. Can you explain to us and the audience what does that mean?
The 70 and the 2 weeks and the Messiah should be cut off actually runs from, like I said earlier, from 457 to 434 AD 34, but in the midst of between AD 27 and AD 34, Christ was cut off in the midst of his earthly ministry, three years and a half, and the other 3 years and a half continued to AD 34. Now most Bible scholars teach that, like I said earlier, that 70 year period is still in the history, but historical records would reflect that Christ was baptized in AD 27 and the gospel went to the Gentiles in AD 34. Now, Brother Renner talked about Artaxerxes giving the decree. Now, the decree that Artaxerxes went forth in 457 BC, that's when the decree went forth, but the actual event did not take place until 408 BC. So the decree went forth from Artaxerxes, just like the Bible said it would go forth, and the actual event actually took place in the year 408 BC.
Brother Renwick, what occurred after the 434 years or the 69 weeks of Daniel 9:25?
One of the most amazing prophecies in the Bible took place, Brother Julian. After the 434 years or the 69 weeks, when we look down through the historical record, it takes us down to the year 27 AD. And what took place during this time was that actually Jesus, the Messiah, he was anointed, that his earthly ministry actually began. And we see this by searching the scriptures, and several scriptures confirm this. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, "The next day Jesus was coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And verse 40, and it says, "On one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said to him, We have found Messiah, which being interpreted, the Christ." And we go down to Acts chapter 10, verse 37. "The word I say, yea, ye know, which was published throughout Judea and began in Galilee, after the baptism John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and God, for God was with him." So in the year 27 AD, this began Christ's earthly ministry, when he actually went out and started to proclaim, "Thus said the Lord," and work diligently on the behalf of his Father. And again, this is also confirmed in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, and it says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came unto Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, ye, and believe in the God." Which time is fulfilled? Prophetic time is being fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand, as Jesus went forth to preach the good news to all those that would listen and repent and turn from their sins.
Brother Paul, you mentioned this this 1 week that seemed to, that some Bible scholars throw into the future. What happens during this 1 week or these 7 years that we talk about?
This 1 week was a total of, in Bible prophecy, like we said, a day is equal for a year. So this 1 week is actually 7 years. Each day was total for 7 years. And this prophecy of 1 week started at the baptism of Christ in AD 27 and came to an end when the gospel went to the Gentiles in AD 34. As a matter of fact, this is the same year when Stephen was stoned, if I'm not mistaken, AD 34, when Stephen was stoned for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Brother Renwick said something very interesting in John 1:29, where it says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." You know, John was backing up what is mentioned in Matthew chapter 1, verse 31, when it's talking about Jesus. When it saw how Jesus should be coming forth from Mary his mother, and when he should come forward, the name that was given to Mary to give to her son, which was Jesus, was to call him Jesus. And the reason is, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this is the whole point of the judgment. The judgment is to go over the record books to see whether we are in the faith, to see whether we are rooted and grounded in Christ. And if there be any sin in our lives, when our name comes before the judgment, that's going to be it. As a matter of fact, our name is only going to come upon the judgment once. And a lot of people believe they have a lot of time to be playing around with sin. It's going to be unannounced, and it's going to be done secretly and privately, and it's only going to be Christ and the angels of heaven. And when our names come up, be assured, we would not be there. Because a lot of people think that one day Christ is going to come, and he's going to spread everyone out, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goat. But that is going on now. The sheep are those who are rooted and grounded in the Christ. The sheep are those who totally overcame sin through the blood of the Lamb. The goat are those who are bucking, wondering if I should do it now, or maybe I got time, maybe next year, not this year. And they have that attitude, like the Bible prophecy says, "You thou almost persuaded me." You know, we go, next month is going to make 4 years since turning point has been here. We've been sharing some stuff with you that sound different. It sounds strange. It sounds odd. But were you examining the facts? Because be assured, when your name come up in the judgment on such and such a date and such a time, the Lord has had to say, had us to say things to you and ask you to go and search your truth. But you say, "Oh, I'll do it later, another time," as if you know tomorrow was there for you. Only God knows the end, ladies and gentlemen, from the beginning. And today is the day for you to search to see whether you are in the faith. Today is today to see if you are in the faith. Because be assured, when he that shall come, and he will come,
he will not tarry. And the question he's going to ask, what did you do with my son? Did you ask, do you allow him to come and power to live his life out in you, that you could be empowered to get the victory over sin? Or were you too busy playing around with your friends?
Brother Paul, I have one a question for you. Why do you think God gave us this prophecy, or this prophecy was given to Daniel?
I think one of the reasons why I believe the Lord gave us this prophecy, Brother Jordan, is for us to have no mistake and doubt in the Bible. You know, the Bible is written, especially the book of Daniel. It's a good book for your church to study. In the book of Daniel, talk about Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And there's pagan Rome and papal Rome. And just that the Bible penned it, that's exactly how it played out. But the problem is, the church is so busy jumping around and bouncing around, they don't want to believe the word of God. And Brother Renick read to you earlier from Amos 3:7. Surely the Bible says, the Lord God will do nothing unless you reveal the secrets to his servants and prophets. The problem is, the so-called prophets are so busy doing other things, they don't have no time to study the prophecies. And that's why there's hardly any church in the Bahamas that I know of that studied the books of Revelation in its depth. You'll hear pastors maybe taking a scripture here or a scripture there, but when was the last time you heard about a local church outside of the Seventh-day Adventist Church doing a complete study on the book of Revelation and Daniel? If you know of any, I'd love to come and be a part of that study. I hope it's a teaching session, not actually a preaching session, where we can actually ask questions. And I'll pay you all a visit. Once again, the number is 322-6273. I don't know of no other church but the Seventh-day Adventist Church that take the time out to study the prophecy of Daniel and Revelation with the Bahamian people and people around the world.
Brother Renwick, my question to you is, we talk about this judgment and we talk about investigative judgment and we talk about this 2300-day prophecy, but can you tell us and the audience why or by what standard would we be judged in this judgment?
Brother Julian, there's only one standard by which all men will be judged, and the Bible is clear. The Bible is quite clear that the law of God, the holy and the righteous law of God, is the standard by which all men will be judged. The same law of God that people are turning their eyes and their ears from and their feet away from today. The same law of God that the churches are casting aside and saying, oh, that's done away with, that's not for us. This is the standard by which all men will be judged. Ask your pastors, ask your elders, which standard will be judged? Ask them to go to the scripture and show them from the Bible, from the word of God, by what will we be judged? Let's confirm it today, ladies and gentlemen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, and I'll read in your hearing. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. James chapter 2 and verse 12, so speak ye, and so do, as they shall be judged by the law of liberty. What is the Bible referring to when it speaks of this law of liberty? It is speaking about the Ten Commandment law. Is God going to judge the way that man judges? Is God going to look at the outer things the way man looks at the outer things? No, that's not how it's going to take place. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 confirms this, and it says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or not on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. The Lord is going to search every secret thing in the heart, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to be judged by the law of God.
Thank you very much, Brother Renwick. You know, a lot of people don't believe that. You know, a lot of people believe that. As a matter of fact, if you listen to the majority of Christians, they believe that everyone is going to heaven. But we know based on God's standard, everyone is not going to be there. He says clearly in his word that the broad way, many people are on the broad way, but it's the narrow way. As a matter of fact, just this week past, there was a minister on the radio talk show, and I called him and asked him to turn his Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 15, and he didn't have his Bible with him. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Why is it that, you know, this signal right now is going through a transmitting tower to the world, through ZNS 1540. If someone right now should go and screw down the transmitting tower of ZNS tower, that means the signal will go off air. You know, the transmitting tower of the preachers is the Bible. So how can ministers of the gospel go on talk shows delivered on their transmitter, which is the Bible? Which is written by holy men of God who are moved by the Holy Ghost. These ministers must be held accountable, like we want you to hold the members of Turning Point accountable. And you know, and the next time I call a talk show on an open line, I'm going to plan to ask them, please let the ministers come on the radio program with their Bibles. Read the scriptures. Did not the Bible say the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword? And when it cuts, it also gives healing. God is not going to cut you if he's not going to give you the healing power to recover from those cutting wounds. And why is he cutting you and I? He is cutting us because he wants to refine us like gold, so we can be as pure gold. So when we be in heaven, in the courts of heaven, he can trust us around the fruits. We're not going to push any in our pocket. He can entrust us around brother, sister, and soul's wife or little children. because he knows we have gone to gain the victory over all of our sins this side of heaven.
Brother Renwick, I have a question for you. There are many people who talk about this 1844 when this prophecy was filled. And there's a question that has come up on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, yesterday this question came up to me. And they say that the Adventists predicted a day. Is this true?
This is not true, Brother Julian. And again, we'll expand on a few of these points a little bit more in the following call, following show. But what happened during the 1844 movement was not an Adventist movement. There was not a Seventh-day Adventist church in existence during the 1844 movement. What happened during 1844? Holy men of God, led by the Holy Spirit, started to study the Word of God, and they saw that prophecy, time prophecy, was being fulfilled. Now, there was a slight misinterpretation of prophecy, but time prophecy was being fulfilled, and people from every church were coming out and coming together and preparing themselves for the coming of the Lord. This was what was taking place during the 1844 movement. There was no Seventh-day Adventist church. I'd like to quickly read one more thing, and that's 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 17, because there's a misconception that the only people that are going to be judged are the drunkards walking down the road and the wicked men. But that's not what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17, what does it say? For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? Ladies and gentlemen, all of you that call yourselves Christian, members of Turning Point, we all are under conviction. We all are under the realization from the power of God's word that judgment begins with us first, and then it takes place upon those that are not clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So let's live our lives concentrated to the Lord every day.
Thank you very much, Brother Joel. Amen, Brother Renwick. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the 2200-day prophecy expands to 1844. It began in 457 B.C., or went all the way through to 1844. And this is when the judgment began, for the dead, and then it moves on to the living.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O Lord, for allowing us the opportunity and privilege to come before your throne this evening. Lord, we ask you to forgive us for any sins or any iniquity. Lord, now as we hear those words, we ask you to give us the power and the strength to go and study so that we could see if those things are true. And if they are, Lord, we ask that you give us the power and the strength that we will go forward in the direction that you are moving us. And this is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we'd like to thank Lignum Technology, Computer City, for helping Turning Point's ministry and their venture of finding the computer for this ministry. And once again, on behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we'd like to say thank you. The telephone number, once again, is 393-2164. And they're located in the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And
this is Julian Miller with the love of God be with you.